Okay, good morning. It's a long session, isn't it? Well, let me first acknowledge my co-authors. So it's Jan Hofmann from UC Davis. No need to introduce him, he's the current president of SSSA. Naftali Lazarovich, the big man right here, he's the greatest ambassador of Hydrus models. And then finally, Keith Bristow in the back, with whom we are doing studies on different irrigation techniques. Well, when I started this review, so I started it at Web of Knowledge, and I did search on modeling drip irrigation first, and then numerical modeling of drip irrigation. So you see some statistics for the modeling of drip irrigation. So that's the bottom figure. And you can see that these studies started sometimes in the 70s. Then there is an exponential growth of the number of studies. And then there's sudden jump in 2013, which I have no explanation for. And then on the top, in the top graph, you see the numerical studies. And you can see that the early studies, as was already mentioned by Dr. Ben Asher, started in early 70s. And then drop by drop, as is the title of this session, then the number of these studies was increasing quite dramatically. So let me first list some of these earlier studies, and you can see that a lot of that was first of all published in our society journal, Soil Science Society of America, and that it was done in mainly by the group in Israel, by Eshel Bressler, and again by Dr. Ben Asher, whom I have privileged to meet for the first time actually at this meeting. I was also happy to see the Rien van der Ploeg, who, as you all know, is a great supporter of the Kirkham Award, and who also organized two of the earlier Hydrus courses in Europe. So these are figures which I cut from the first two papers, and you can see here that the authors develop a numerical model. I believe it was based on the finite differences, and then they compare the predictions of this model with the Wooding's analytical solution on the left and experimental data on the right. I believe that I can distinguish some trends in these graphs, that there is a slowly increasing trend in 1990s, and that we have something to do with these trends, that it reflects the introduction of the Hydrus models, their early versions in DOS versions, and then the Windows-based Hydrus models in 2000. So that brings me to these models. Obviously, they simulate flow and solute transport in 1, 2, and 3 dimensions. Well, here's the history of them. And you can see that we track that history to another great scientist of Israel, Shlomo Neumann, who developed one of the first numerical models on stuff, and our models are still based on that model. And then in the 90s, we developed the first DOS program as WMS2D and J2D, and those were used in these studies in the 90s. And then in the late 90s, we finally came up with the Hydrus2D model, which is now quite often used in these studies, especially because it has some special options which are useful for that. So anyway, I would like to stress that these models were not developed for the drip irrigation simulations. Those are general models which can be used for any type of subsurface flow and transport systems in the Vado zone and saturated zone, and that they can be used at the multiple scales, both spatial and temporal. I included here also this watershed scale because I can see from time to time such applications, but I would like to stress that I would never myself recommend to use these models at that scale because I don't believe that the Richards equation or Darcy-Buckingham law is actually valid at that scale. And so there is a lot of applications other than agriculture, and the drip irrigation is only one small part of that. Well, here I just try to document that there is a lot of studies in which these models were used for the drip irrigation. I selected a few which I wanted to discuss. I sent this my presentation to Naftali, and he included many more, so that you will hear about many more studies than I originally intended. Well, the first study, which is probably the most widely cited now, is the study carried out by Todd Skag, whom I've seen here in the room, right? He's over there, and Tom Trout, whom I've seen here also, yeah, he's over there. And so this study involved the field experiment with subsurface drip irrigation. They carried out a lot of these scenarios with different drip irrigation rates and duration of irrigation. And then they monitored in detail the water content distribution. Todd Skaggs then took Hydrus model. He represented it, as you can see, with the finite elements. Then he estimated hydraulic properties using the Rosetta model and made the prediction. And the comparisons were wonderful. And since then, this study is used to justify the use of the numerical models to simulate these types of experiments. At about the same time, Jan Hopmans visited me in Riverside, and he brought Blaine Hansen. And Blaine Hansen is an extension specialist who knows probably everything which is to be known about these systems, but mainly from the practical side. And so we discussed how we can use these models and whether we can address some of the issues or questions he has. And so we started doing a series of studies. And this is the first study which we did, where we look at different micro-irrigation schemes, we look at different timing of the nitrogen applications and studied the leaching of water and nitrogen for these different scenarios. For this special study, I developed these special options where I can dynamically calculate the wetting area at the soil surface. I put here a video, but I'll skip it. In the second study, which we did again with this same group, we were looking at the transport of other species, including potassium, phosphorus, but also nitrogen again, but in this kind of cocktail, urea, ammonium, and nitrate. And we obtained quite different predictions than in the previous studies, because obviously ammonium is sorbed, and so the nitrogen stays around the drip line much longer than if you apply directly nitrogen, which was the conclusions here. And then we look at the drip irrigation with the saline, shallow groundwater. And drip irrigation was suggested to be one of the way of dealing with the problems associated with the saline shallow groundwater. But the conventional techniques of calculating the leaching fractions would not really apply to this situation, so would not give the right answer. So we did again a lot of simulations with different amount of irrigation water, different irrigation EC of the irrigation water, and we showed that you get local leaching fraction, which are quite significant, even though these water balance methods would show no leaching, and so that this technique is really useful, and as was known from practical view. So at that time, I started working with Naftali here, and so we included some special options into Hydra, such as this drip characteristic function. So when the discharge of the dripper is larger than the infiltration capacity, then there will be a kind of back pressure, which will reduce the discharge. And some of the manufacturers would give you this dripper characteristic function and how the dripper would react to that back pressure. So we implemented this special option in Hydrus, and Naftali did a lot of experiments with different discharge rates, etc. And then we modeled that with Hydrus again with reasonable results. The group at University of Arizona, where Naftali was at that time with Art Warwick and also Alex Fuhrman, who is here, was their PhD student. So they did a lot of simulations with Hydrus, predicting the moisture content distribution around for different drip irrigation scenarios, and then they analyzed that using the moment analysis. And so they described that in this paper. They generated a lot of these scenarios, and then they analyzed them using neural networks, and then they used this information to develop a tool which can estimate subsurface wetting patterns, and I believe it's in Excel, right? And it can be downloaded from Naftali's website. So it's called NeuroDrip. So it's simpler than running the numerical model. At that time, in about 2010, Maziar Candelus, who is here, he came to Riverside for a short visit of 6 months, and as you can see, he's still here. And within those 6 months, we wrote several papers, I think 3 or 4, where we analyzed some of his experimental data and compared them with Hydrus models, but also with other empirical and analytical models. And in one of these studies, we evaluated different approaches which can be used to simulate the subsurface drip irrigation. So as you can see at this slide, you can use three-dimensional, you can simulate it as a three-dimensional system, as a two-dimensional system with a line source, or as an axisymmetrical two-dimensional system with a point source. And in this paper, we discuss when these different approaches should be used. In Hydrus, we implemented a special option for drip irrigation, trigger irrigation. So the irrigation can be triggered when the pressure head at certain locations, which you can select anywhere in the transport domain, drops below a certain specified value. And then the program will generate irrigation at specified boundary. Again, the users can choose where to apply that irrigation. And this option was used in the PhD study of Sharon Deba, who is speaking, I think, in the second part of this session. And so you can see that he collected a lot of experimental data for such system with different potential transpiration rates, with different irrigation amounts. And again, then he simulated it with Hydrus, and you can see quite good correspondence. And the last study which I want to show, that was done with my colleague from Saudi Arabia, with Mohammed El Nasser. He's over there. 3 minutes? Oh, that's plenty. And so they analyzed the system with the two subsurface drippers. So they came with the idea that they can manipulate, you know, they can time irrigation with these two drippers and influence the flow and made the flow going mostly upwards to the root zone. So the hypothesis was that they can wet the soil initially with the lower dripper, generate some kind of a hydraulic barrier and move, and when they irrigate from the upper dripper, then the water would move mostly due to the higher pressure gradient upwards. That so we did simulate that. The simulations didn't, I don't know if they really confirmed that. I don't actually think that they confirmed that idea. But then we also simulated, we can run with another hypothesis that we can use the system with an advantage really for fertigation, that we can apply the nutrients in the upper dripper and prevent the basically completely prevent leaching of that nitrate and forcing it moving into the root zone. In my abstract, I mentioned that I would talk also about an analytical solution, so I do have 2 slides about that. So there are analytical solutions which were developed by Philip for both buried source and surface source, and these analytical solutions were included into the software tool called WetUp by colleagues in Australia, by Freeman Cook and Keith Bristow, who is here. And this tool can be also used to design the drip irrigation system. This is a comparison with the experimental data. Obviously, these analytical solutions, they must have some simplifying assumptions which go way beyond what we need to do with the analytical, with the numerical models. And finally, my last slide. So this summer, I spent some time with Keith Bristow, and we implemented a lot of new options into the Hydrus model. So after a shark encounter in the Great Barrier Reef, I felt much better inside, so I spent a lot of time inside more doing the programming. And we implemented some of these options. Keith will be talking about them in the second part of this session. So we have a couple of movement of water energy, surface energy balance, and root growth and other options, which we will be slowly releasing and using in these studies. So that's all. So I guess you will not be surprised if I conclude with this. And that's all.